I see Desiree. Okay. So this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the October 14th, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded, and we will begin our meeting with Patty Mouton leading with us the inspiration, and then Amina Sin Matthews in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody else could please mute.
Okay, and give me about 10 seconds. Are you ready for me, Chair?
Yes, Patty, please go ahead.
Okay, very well. Good morning. October 14th is National I Love You Day. It's a day to appreciate more than just romantic love and celebrate family and friendship and all those we hold dear. For thousands of years in human history, love has been revered as a powerful force of life. The Greek philosopher Empedocles described love as the influencer of water, air, earth, and fire, the four elements of the world at that time. On this day in 1967, the Beatles recorded the iconic "All You Need Is Love." And in 1597, William Shakespeare published Romeo and Juliet, the classic story of star-crossed lovers. As I was looking to find other passages that would help us think about and appreciate love, I, of course, came across in Christian tradition throughout scriptures, there are many references to the importance of love. But in Buddhist scripture, I also found that loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity are of paramount importance. And it says, love is not selfish or self-seeking. True love is the light in darkness. Wishing you all a bit of true love today. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Amina?
Thank you. Please rise.
Desiree, could you please put the flag?
One second. Begin. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, for which we stand, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Amina. I'm sitting at my husband's desk and he has one of those plexiglass under his rolly chair. So if you see me rolling away, that's what's happening. I'm not used to this chair with these wheels with on top of this plexiglass. So anyways, Elizabeth, can you please take roll?
Yes. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick. Present. Amelia Castro. Meredith Chalimi, we know, is absent. Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Carolyn Inman. Jim Levy, we know, is absent. Crystal Miles. Crystal.
Sorry, here. Sorry, here. I forgot the mute. Sorry.
Carol Moore.
Present.
Paolo Morales. Nope. Patty Mouton.
Present.
Joni Nichols.
Present.
Rachel Owens. Rachel, you're there. Well, I know you're there, or you were there. Where are you, Rachel? Maybe she left us? Wow. Mary Perdue.
Mary will be late.
Okay. John Poynter.
Present, Elizabeth.
Tony Rodella.
Hoorah.
Amina St. Matthews.
Present.
Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Present.
Evelyn Velez.
Present.
Madam, we have
Elizabeth. Sorry, I am here.
There you are. Okay, thank you, Rachel. Linda. And Linda's here. Okay, thanks.
And Linda joined.
Okay, thank you. And we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, we are now on to item number 5, action item AB 361, review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I move the action item.
Moved by Carol, seconded by Rachel.
Could we have a tiny bit of discussion?
Sure.
Before we vote, just
okay, Patty. What would you like to say?
I think it may be time for us to consider asking whether or not we can come back in person. I know it's really, really convenient to meet via Zoom, but I would love to see us meet in person again. And I'm not sure that the health threat is continuing to be imminent.
Okay. Well, we have our next meeting scheduled. Our November meeting is in person, Patty.
Great, great.
We're doing this in case something happens between now and then so that it could bridge us over to that.
Okay.
Elizabeth, I see Paulo is now on.
I noted. Thank you. Present.
Right. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, Desiree, could you please take a roll call vote?
Sorry, I couldn't unmute fast enough. Question, Elaine?
Yes, John.
Okay. A different opinion from Patty's is that, yes, there is an advantage to an in-person meeting. I don't think you have to meet every month in person, nor do I think you have to do the committee in person every month or the executive committee. So I think there's advantages to the virtual meeting process as well. No one would dismiss the need for socialization, but I don't think you have to meet for every one of your organizations every month in person. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And actually, and that's something that we've discussed several times here, where when we start meeting in person, perhaps meeting in person for the general meeting that everybody could see each other, but then for the standing committees and executive board, continue that via Zoom for however long we're able to do that. But I think since we'll be meeting in person in November, perhaps we may have a more robust discussion then. Carol, did you have your hand up?
Oh, no.
Okay. So Desiree, could you please take the roll call vote?
Of course. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro? Meredith Chalemi? Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
Carolyn Inman? Jim Levy? Crystal Miles?
No.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Paulo Morales?
Yes.
Patty Mouton?
No.
Joni Nichols?
Joni, you're muted.
No.
Rachel Owens?
No.
Mary Perdue? John Poynter?
Yes.
Tony Rodella?
Aye.
Amina Sin Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Slope? Barbara, you're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Yes.
Jeffrey Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
And that is majority, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Desiree. Excuse me. Well, sorry, thank you, everybody. And the comments that were made are, they're valued, and we are considering those. And as I said, I think at the November meeting, we may have a more robust discussion and also have a better forecast in the future. And also keep in mind, we are dark during December. So even though our meeting is in November is in person, like I said, we did this just in case something happens. I don't know if, you know, all of a sudden numbers start spiking and the county says it would be, detrimental to the health of some of our seniors to meet. So, but I do look forward to seeing you all on November 4th in Laguna Niguel. The introductions, we do not have any introductions this morning, so we will go right into the presentation. And that will be Elizabeth Busick will be introducing today's speaker.
Today, we are really lucky. We have the most fantastic program ever. It's the Saddleback College Emeritus Institute. And your agenda shows there are three speakers, but there are actually two speakers. And one has a class at 10 o'clock. So Lisa, I will introduce right away, and then I will introduce Laura. But I've taken all of Lisa's classes. They are so fantastic. I can't begin to tell you. I want to tell you about her. Lisa Messenger is an emeritus health instructor, and she happens to be the department head, and was in 2015-16, she was voted Saddleback Associate Faculty Member of the Year. And actually, she would be voted that every time, but you can't get it every time. She's incredible. Anyway, so she has 15 years of experience and 20 of being an instructor in health, and 23 total years working in the fitness industry. She has taught a variety of health classes for both Saddleback and Irvine Valley College. In 2020, she added the job of chair of health and wellness emeritus to her resume, utilizing her computer skills, which are really good, to help faculty and students navigate the technology challenges created by moving from an in-person to an online format. She enjoys doing things that will help someone either potentially or change their life, even if it's in a small way. Helping people to be the best they can be gives her a sense of purpose. This fuels her motivation to continue learning new things, take new opportunities, and use her positive attitude and spirited energy to encourage others to work hard and succeed. She's really motivational, I'll tell you. Lisa's interests are animals, water sports, and travel. She lives in Newport Beach with her bird, Hootie, and many cats. She fosters kittens until they find forever homes. Okay, here comes Lisa. She has a 10 o'clock class to get to. Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That was a very wonderful introduction. My biggest fan right here. Very happy to be here today. I'm here just to introduce you to the Emeritus Program. If you have not heard about it, I'll go ahead and share my screen and start my presentation. I do have a 10 o'clock class, as Elizabeth said, so I will go through my portion and then I'll hand it off to Laura, the Department Chair for Fine, Applied, and Performing Arts, and she'll take it away from there. I will have time for some questions answers if need be. So I'm going to go ahead and share. Hopefully I'm going to do this correctly. Yeah. Okay. So can everyone see my screen all right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. So yeah, in 2020, I started doing a co-chairing this for the health and wellness. I wasn't the only chair. There was another chair that was also part of health and wellness. So I've been doing it for the past 2.5 years, but in 2021, I took over the health and wellness part myself. It's been a fun ride. Every semester seems to change because of COVID. So we're back in person, then we're not, we're back and we're not. And for spring, we're actually getting back to in-person. So to answer the question of what is the Emeritus Institute, it's a unique tuition-free educational opportunity for the pursuit and enhancement of lifelong learning, specifically designed for the older adult. That's the key there. We were established in 1976, and we are the largest older adult education program in California. So there are other colleges have this program. It's just on a much smaller scale. The mission statement for Saddleback is to engage the community in learning. Lifelong learning by providing academically rigorous, mentally stimulating, socially engaging, and health improving courses for the older adult throughout Orange County. Since 1976, Saddleback has invested its resources to ensure that seniors in our community have collegiate level lifelong learning courses available that welcome students to explore new passions, new ideas, and build new friendships. And that's a big key there. There are over 80 faculty members for the Emeritus Institute. And as the largest older adult education program in California, we're able to recruit the best faculty, those that are both experts in the field and professionally trained in older adult education. So we have multiple doctorates amongst us and many, many dozens and dozens of master's degrees. Professionals dedicated to the older adult education and patient, welcoming, and informative. We do a survey at the end of most semesters, and so I just pulled up a couple of quotes from a couple of students. So one of them, I can't imagine my life without the classes and friendships I have because of Saddleback's Emeritus program. Again, it is free. So it's a wonderful program if you haven't looked into it. Another quote, Emeritus Health Programs truly helped me to reestablish my healthy exercise routines after my surgery and other treatments. And the last one, these classes will get me out of the house. This was a pre-pandemic. They have saved my life and given me a way to make friends after my husband passed away. So building a community is a central component of the Emeritus Institute. And when the pandemic hit, we really weren't sure if we were going to be able to keep the program running. But thanks to the great work of faculty and staff, we're able to continue offering the Emeritus courses online, allowing students to maintain some normalcy and interconnectedness during the last 2.5 years. So going forward, we now will be offering classes in person and online. So now we know it works. So we're able to continue offering these online courses, which is great. So for spring 2023, we have over 200 sections of courses available. That's 200 sections available of social engagement. 72 of them are in person and offered throughout South Orange County. This includes San Juan Capistrano, San Clemente, Dana Point, Mission Viejo, Rancho Santa Margarita, Laguna Niguel, and Laguna Woods, who host several of our classes each semester, which we're grateful for. And we also have some classes that are actually offered on campus. There's 113 that will remain on live/synchronous, which means it is live on a specific time and day via Zoom, like now. So there'll always be a time and day attached to that. That's what synchronous means. There's going to be 17 that are asynchronous. And asynchronous means that there's no time or day connected to the class. You have the opportunity to join the class whenever you want because there are recorded lectures involved. And they also taking an asynchronous class does not conflict with taking any of your other classes that might be live and on a specific day and a specific time. So asynchronous is really a nice option. And then we will have printed schedules available in early November, and they will be delivered to all the sites throughout South Orange County, the senior and community centers where we teach. They'll also be available on campus. But you can find this full schedule online as well at our website. out of those 200 classes, the Health and Wellness Department hosts 65 or more of them. All courses incorporate movement strategies appropriate for older adults, and all classes include an academic portion and a movement component. So they're all lecture lab. They're not just straight exercise classes. So our instructors will lecture either before, during, and after, or all the way through the class to make sure that there's an academic component. Our health and wellness classes are designed for older adults to learn and practice healthful living. So we pair academic information and apply it through different movement emphases built from the five dimensions of wellness. And those dimensions are, basically there's five aspects of personal health, and they're known as the five dimensions of wellness. So the physical is your fitness, self-care, and nutrition aspect. Then you have your emotional, how you handle your stress, mental and intellectual, social, and spiritual. So in order to be considered well, it is imperative for none of these areas to be neglected. So by focusing on the holistic health of our students, we ensure they're mentally and physically strengthened. So the class offerings for health and wellness this semester are yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, aerobics. We have chair aerobics, both beginning and intermediate. Balance and mobility is very popular. Stretch and aqua and circuit training. We cannot offer aqua online, so it's the only course that will be held in person always. And again, these classes will have a lecture component to them as well as the exercise component. And then we are offering four strict lecture classes. Brain health is very popular. We now offer two. One will be a live synchronous, and the other will be an asynchronous. So you can take it anytime you want, which is great. That just started this last semester. The health issues class has been missing for a while, so we're happy to bring that back. And that basically promotes awareness and informed decision-making in regard to health issues, such as health insurance, any fraud, legislation changes, things like that. And then age-related health risk factors and geropsychology perspectives on aging are two classes that we only offer in the spring. So they'll return this spring as well. All of our courses are based off of demand. Therefore, the more students we have enrolled in our classes, the more classes we can offer. So we welcome you to tell all of your friends and family to check out the Emeritus Program, because it does have a lot to offer everybody. That actually ends my portion of this presentation. Laura is going to take over from here, but I will stop here and answer any questions you may have. I will also make this presentation available for you to have as well. So does anybody have any questions for me? None. So I go ahead and pass it back to Elizabeth. If I disappear, it's because I have a class in 6 minutes. So I appreciate your time. Thank you for having me this morning.
Lisa, I've never heard of this before. I've been Googling it. I'm amazed at the array of classes that are available. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We're very proud of our program. We're very excited to be here. So, again, being an instructor and for emeritus, the big difference between being an instructor for emeritus and a regular college credited course is that everyone wants to be there. Everyone wants to be in that classroom. They want to learn. They want to exercise. They want to be there. So you're teaching for a bunch of people that are eager to learn and listen. So it's not like you're just kind of talking to a blank space. You're actually talking to people that are excited to be there. So I love being here myself.
Can we post that website again into the chat?
Absolutely. And Laura's going to have that at the end for you as well. I just did a quick end so that I'd have an end of my presentation, because we're two separate presentations, but she will definitely have all that information for you at the end of hers. All right.
Just saddleback.edu.
Yeah, it's saddleback.edu with a / emeritus, and you'll get in that way.
Or just Google Emeritus Institute. It's really easy.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. We really appreciate your time and the information.
Thank you, Laura. You're welcome. Thank you all.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. I mean, this program is so fantastic. I can't wait to hear what Laura has to say. So Laura is a photography and art instructor for the Saddleback College Emeritus Institute and has taught a variety of courses for Cal State Fullerton and other colleges. Her classes include illustration, design, art appreciation, and art history. She majored in art and photography at Cerritos Community College and later at Cal State Fullerton, where she earned her BA and Master of Fine Arts in art, specializing in illustration while launching her career in commercial photography and illustration. She's a lifelong learner passionate about art and photography. Laura is currently serving as department chair of the Fine Applied and Performing Arts at Saddleback College Emeritus Institute. A California native, Laura lives with her husband of 30 years in Irvine and with her dachshund, Sarah. Okay, Laura, all right.
Well, thank you so much for that kind introduction. It is such an honor to be here. Lisa is going to be very hard to follow, but as Elizabeth said, I have had the honor of serving as department chair since 2021, but with the emeritus since 2016, and I never have looked back. It is such an honor to be a part of the Emeritus Institute. So I'm just going to get ready to share my screen. So I'll get that all ready. So I'm just going to get it ready to go. And so I am going to kind of pick up where Lisa left off. And so just a little bit about me there. There is my title. I also teach serve as a co-chair, and it really is an honor. So, and as Elizabeth said, I do currently teach photography courses and art appreciation. So here is just an overview of the types of courses you can take at the Emeritus Institute. So I'm going to first focus on my area, which is fine, applied, and performing arts. And this spring, we are offering 80 plus sections in the arts. So Lisa mentioned 200 different sections. So I just wanted to give you kind of an overview. We offer ceramics, applied arts, fashion design, drawing and painting, life drawing and portraiture, art history, art appreciation, digital photography, and the performing arts. And I will show you that a little bit more close up, but that includes music history, voice, theater. So ceramics are extremely popular, and ceramics, of course, we have in person. And so here are a few of the ceramics courses we are offering this spring. So we have ceramics hand building, we have multi-levels. We also have ceramics wheel offered, and that can be beginning, intermediate, and advanced. Slip casting, also many levels of expertise. The art of ceramic decorating and ceramics techniques. And we're bringing back sculpture. And so all of these courses will be taught at Laguna Woods Village. So we're very grateful for that location. And here are some of the applied arts or crafts we offer in Tarsia, and that's where we're working with inlaid stones and lapidary, numerous levels, stained glass, and that's beginning and advanced levels, and enameling, plus metal fabrication for jewelry. And you can take a beginning or an advanced or an intermediate level. And so we have more. We have fine arts, painting, and that includes oil and acrylic painting, many levels, watercolor painting, and painting in subject hours, which is actually plein air, portrait painting in oils, watercolor, and pastels, and Chinese brush painting. So we offer quite a breadth of different painting courses. And at multiple levels, we have a combination of online synchronous and also in-person painting classes. And in the fine arts, we also have fundamentals of sketching, intermediate sketching, and fundamentals of life drawing. If you want to take art theory, we also have art history to offer, contemporary art and culture classes, and art appreciation. So for fashion, we have more. We have quilting and patchwork classes, clothing construction, or better known as sewing, at multiple levels, art as fashion, art accessories for home, and knitting and crocheting. And there's more, performing arts. And I have to apologize, I have gardeners right outside my window, but that happens in the Zoom environment. So I hope you can all hear me. So back to performing arts, we have concert chorale and this, and also music history, as I mentioned, that includes love of music and opera, and vocal and rhythm techniques, that is the voice classes, and those will be in person. And of course, ensemble and orchestra rehearsal and performance, those are also offered in person. And last but not least, scene study or acting, which is also in person. I can't leave out photography. Something very near and dear to me, we offer fundamentals of digital photography, which is also beginning photography. And we offer online, we'll offer an online course option and an in-person option next semester in spring. Also intermediate digital photography will be, it's very popular. We have online and in-person. Next semester, I'll be teaching the online courses. Also advanced color printing, a wonderful class that goes into the history of photography, photography for exhibition, and also digital slideshow design. We brought back that class from before. This is where you can take your images, like say from a trip or videos, and create an amazing slideshow. Not your grandfather's slideshow, but a true presentation. And next we'll talk about humanities and sciences. My coach, we have a co-chair. She just couldn't be here today, but I wanted to talk about a sampling of courses offered this spring. And they include the sciences. And if you are a birder, you'll love these classes. We offer birds of the world, advanced birding, ecology, and regenerative medicine. Also, if you want to learn more about your computer, want to get the most out of your computing, we have life and technology courses. We also have creative writing, film as literature, fiction and nonfiction writing, and Bible as literature, and also history, philosophy, current events, which includes world religions, Western civilization, history of the Middle East, free thought, history, and biography through media. And some of these courses are new. And we keep adding courses all the time. So what sets us apart? Well, Lisa mentioned we are tuition free. And that to me is absolutely fabulous. The price is right. Emeritus students are also Saddleback College students. We are lifelong learners on a path to lifelong learning. And we are, as Lisa mentioned, we are academically rigorous, mentally stimulating, socially engaging, and health improving. So all of our courses do have an academic component. So that does set us apart. We are, as Lisa mentioned, the largest older adult non-credit program in California. And our classes are designed specifically for older adult lifelong learners. And one thing I wanted to mention, and this is also why I love teaching for the Emeritus Institute, our classes are repeatable. You can come back for more. It's not just a one and done, I must move on. You can take the courses again and again and study with multiple professors who, or if you want to stay with one, you can go on a path. And so that is also unique to our program. And we have highly qualified and caring faculty. So I wanted to invite you to register for one of our most popular courses. This is a course, the Dorothy Marie Laurie Distinguished Guest Lecture Series, which is offered every spring. And we have a new lineup coming up. This class welcomes a renowned speaker each Friday, and it's held from 10 o'clock to noon. It's held online on Zoom live, and you don't want to miss this. If you're interested, register for eHume. It's under Humanities, and it's section number 18,000, so kind of easy to remember. And you'll get a copy of my slides after the presentation. And I'm so excited. We have new classes for 2023, and so and these classes are kind of based on student feedback. It's really what people want. And so we're proud to offer estate planning, American civics, world religions and texts, and regenerative medicine. And so I'm really excited about that. And building community is a central component to the Emeritus Institute. Going out into the community, and here is where we are extremely grateful for Laguna Woods Village, who in their generosity partners with the Emeritus Institute to hold so many classes, including ceramics, photography, fine arts, and applied arts, and so much more in their excellent locations. So I want to thank Laguna Woods, as well as these other addresses that we go to. So they're all throughout South Orange County. So we come to you. So as I wrap this up, I just want to invite you to please join us for tuition-free lifelong learning at the Saddleback College Emeritus Institute. And becoming a lifelong learner with us is as easy as, number one, applying, number two, registering, and three, joining a class. So as we prepare for the spring 2023 semester, now is the time to apply for admission to Saddleback College. You can find our application on this website, and I'll also give you the slides as I mentioned. And registration begins in mid-November, so it's around the corner. And we also will have printed schedules, as Lisa mentioned, and we'll have them distributed throughout South Orange County at senior and community centers, as well at our different teaching sites. And so whether you love the convenience of an online class, or if you can't wait to see your friends live in person, the Emeritus Institute is here for you. And we have what you need. So if you need help with a computer, we have free Chromebooks available. We also offer student technical support, online learning guides as well, and also your patient and excellent faculty. And I wanted to mention, I'm really excited about this. I'm just about to wrap up, but we are now offering opportunities for in-person registration off campus. So here are the two sites. They will be taking place at the end of November, right before Thanksgiving week, at the Florence Sylvester Center in Laguna Woods on Monday and Tuesday. And I have the times for you, November 21st and November 22nd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And also we'll be at the Norman P. Murray Center in Mission Viejo on Wednesday, November 23rd in the afternoon. So as I close, as Lisa said so well, why sign up today? You'll help promote the growth of the Emeritus Institute. As you sign up and we get higher enrollment, we can offer more classes. And so your attendance also funds the Emeritus Institute's academic tuition-free lifelong learning courses in our community. So please invite your friends, attend our classes, and come help us grow. And with that, I want to thank you. And please feel free to contact us or call us, email us, get the latest information. And please visit our website. Here it is at saddleback.edu/emeritus. Also, I'm giving you our email. And I want to thank you and happy learning. And I want to thank the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council for inviting us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. That was a lot of information, and it's just such a great resource right here in our community. So I know you've piqued a lot of our interests. Actually, I want to go check it out too and see what wonderful classes I can take. I see Crystal Miles has a question.
Hi, thanks, Lane. Laura, thank you so much. That was fantastic, and I cannot wait to share with my community. But I have a question. So I understand that the tuition is, you know, the classes are tuition free, but what is the average cost, if any, for, say, materials or lab fees?
Great question. Currently, I have good news. Lab fees are now now covered by the college. So in the past, we've had low materials fees, none greater than $15, but now they are waived. And so that's really good news.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So the only cost would be the parking fee at Laguna Woods Village, but that's for the whole semester. And it's a lot lower than parking fees at colleges. So really, it's fee free. So I hope that comes as good news.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Joni, your question?
I know others said they couldn't wait. Well, I literally couldn't wait. I sent WhatsApp messages to 5 people inviting them for the classes. I know that they're going to enjoy. I can't decide which of the ones I want. And it feels a little greedy because there's so many hundreds of offerings, yeah. But I saw one specific one I would make as a recommendation in technology. Mm-hmm. And it would be website design.
Yes, absolutely. Those are very popular courses. And what's wonderful about them, they evolve. And the good news, you can take these courses again and again as you grow in, with your computer skills. And it's always changing. This is truly lifelong learning. Yeah, thank you for that.
I would just like to add.
I want to learn it, look into that website design, because I know that's a need that a lot of our nonprofit organizations have that we're all members of. It's like, oh, if only somebody could do this on the website. So that's a great one to look into. Elizabeth and then Sandy.
I just want to say this is the best. My son and daughter-in-law think I should move up to Oregon. No way. I mean, with this program, I cannot speak highly enough. It is so outstanding. And we really have to thank Meredith for bringing this program to us. Meredith comes up with the best programs. Yay. And this is the number one, no question.
Okay,
thank you for that. Thank you.
Sandy, you're muted.
I know.
You're still muted.
Have it now?
Now we can hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment. I've been taking the Saddleback Emeritus classes for over 20 years, and Elizabeth is not bragging or being extreme. They're fabulous. All the instructors, I can't say enough about them. They're terrific, and they're very caring people. And before the pandemic, I can't tell you how many friends and people that I met in my classes. Most of my classes are physical type aerobic classes, Tai Chi and so forth. And just terrific. And I'm the same as Elizabeth. I tell my friends and family all the time, I would absolutely not leave Orange County because these classes are just terrific. And I think the price is right. free.
Thank you, Sandy. I agree.
Great. Well, those are great testimonials for all of us and all of, and to also share this information. I see Joni had another question or comment.
Yeah, you just raised a question. What do you have to do to demonstrate residency in order to participate?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for that, Joni. You just have to live in California. So there you go. And the application, you can fill out a paper application if you want to. And also if you want to, you could go to admissions and records at Saddleback College, but you can do this also online. So I would recommend downloading the paper application, which is right on the website. And then you would email it, and it's really as easy as that. The next day, you'll be issued a student ID number, which makes you also a Saddleback College student. The other thing I haven't mentioned, which is really attractive to a lot of our students, is that you also get student discounts, which also allow you into some of our sites. We just had a field trip in my photography class at the Sherman Library and Gardens. And if you're a college student, you can get a really reduced fee and go to this great site for very little money. So you have other, that's just one of many benefits, going into museums at a reduced rate. So there are multiple benefits to becoming a Saddleback College student.
Great. And we see Charlene already has the application. So. Okay, Jean, did you have a question or comment?
Just a quick question. Great presentation. I'm massively interested. Lifelong learning. What a great concept and easy to do. Where do your instructors, do they get paid or do they volunteer their time or where do they come from?
That's a great question. Yeah, we are college professors just among Saddleback College. We do get paid. We are actually paid the same as any Saddleback College professor. We have to go through a rigorous application process and demonstrate proficiency. We have to have the degrees necessary and meet the minimum qualifications to teach at a community college. So we are community college professors, not volunteers.
Thank you so much.
Well, and then I'll piggyback on that question. So the emeritus professors, do you also teach in the associate degree program at Saddleback? Do you cross over between the two?
That's a great question. Yes, we do. Many of us teach at different colleges. I know Lisa also teaches at IVC for a while. I was also teaching at Cal State Fullerton for credit, but we have a few that also teach for the in-credit, for the four credit side. I found in my teaching career, when I started teaching for the emeritus, I couldn't look back. And I ended up, and now presently, I'm so thrilled to only be teaching for the Emeritus Institute. I really love the program. As Lisa said, emeritus students are intrinsically motivated. You really want to be in class. You're not just ticking a box. You're not going just for a grade. You're really going for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Crystal?
Sorry, one last question. You might have said this, but if you did, I missed it. I apologize. Is there a minimum age?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that question. Actually, everybody over the age of 18 can take our classes. Okay. So, however, Emeritus Institute courses are designed for the older adult, but our faculty are facilitators of learning. So the best part of the Emeritus Institute is that it combines people from all walks of life with varying levels of education, life experience. I have to tell you that the average age happens to be 73. And we even have a couple of students over the age of 100, but I also have students in their mid 40s. I have had people in their 30s. I've had a student in her late 20s and she would come and bake brownies for all of us. I mean, it was, it's a diverse population, but the real truth is that you only have to be over 18 to take these courses. Thank you.
Mary, did you have a question? I saw your hand up.
I was going to and then I decided not to, but I will. So I know someone who is a senior and he, because of life circumstances, did not get his college degree, and it's a box he would love to check. And I noticed that these are zero credit. Is there a way for him to get credit for any of these, or because it's free, you wouldn't get credit?
Yeah, very good question. Thank you for that. The courses are a non-credit. They differ from the four credit side where you actually matriculate and you're awarded a degree. And it has happened that some emeritus students were so excited by the coursework, they then applied and it was very easy. It's an easy transition to go in on the four credit side and go through that program. I've had a few students take emeritus classes concurrently with four credit classes. We are going to be offering some certificates of completion, but if the degree, the award of the degree is his goal, then he would take the four credit side concurrently or alone. Does that help?
Thank you so much. Okay. Yes, very helpful. Thank you.
Well, I think, Laura, you've created so much interest and enthusiasm here. We'll probably all sign up and see familiar faces in the classes. So
I would be honored to see you. That would be absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time and this great information. I think you've really opened our eyes to the opportunities available for seniors here. So thank you.
Thank you.
You are welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting, but we also know you have other meetings you may need to get to. So whenever you need to drop off, please do so. But we greatly appreciate your being here, and we'll look forward to taking one of your classes. Okay, and thank you, Elizabeth, for making the introductions. And everyone, next time you see Meredith, please let her know how much you appreciate all that she's putting into getting these fantastic speakers for us. Okay, now we are on to item number 8, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any members of the public or requests to speak? Desiree.
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. There are members of the public present. If there are members of the public that would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So public comments is now closed and we will now go on to chair items. So a couple of things coming up. So just a reminder to everyone that our November meeting is a week early. It's on November 4th because the 11th is Veterans Day, which is a holiday. And so be sure that you've made that change on your calendar. We did make that change early in the year, but please be sure that's reflected on your calendar. And then after the meeting, after we've adjourned the meeting, we will have our traditional holiday lunch because we will be in person. And I know we'll have a lot to celebrate just seeing each other. And this will be in Laguna Niguel at Crown Valley Community Center, both the meeting and the luncheon. And this is something new this year. You won't need to pay for your own lunch because you will be guests of the city. So, but when I do send out the email, I need a firm yes or no, because we need to let the caterer know how many to prepare for. But we look forward to that. And I know Carolyn will be working on some social activity. And if anyone would like to assist her with that, please let us know. But a couple of important things will take place at that meeting. And the most important, I think, is the election of the new board. So as I keep reminding, and maybe it's a reminder to myself that our bylaws did change with the Board of Supervisors. They did go for a standardized format for the bylaws for all of the boards and commissions. So our process has changed in that there's no longer a nominating committee. Nominations are taken from the floor. This will happen at the November meeting. And then the officers that are elected for a one-year term, not as previously a two-year term. So I've spoken to some of you. Some of you have reached out to me. We do have some board members who would like to continue. Some will be stepping off. but if anyone wants any information about the board, let me know. And I think I'll send out an email just letting you know as we get closer to it, who's indicated an interest. And so that when we get to the meeting, you know, who is interested instead of, you know, having to go around the room but anyone is welcome to make a nomination from the floor for that process. And we are dark in December. So for the year, the work of this SCAC year needs to be accomplished at that November meeting. And our speaker, our presentation at that November meeting will be Executive Director for Caregiver Resource Center, Jack Light. And then our very own Patty Mouton, who is the Vice President of Outreach and Advocacy for Alzheimer's Orange County. So that'll be a very interesting meeting and we're looking forward to that. But plan on coming to Laguna Niguel, block out more time on your calendar because we do have the luncheon afterwards. Any questions about the November meeting? Okay, seeing none. And then I guess in that I wrapped in the 2023 Executive Board in my comments. So if you have any questions on that, either you can ask now or please feel free to contact myself or any member of the Executive Board. It's also time for membership renewals. So Desiree is going to be sending me the roster that has the term limits on it and who your appointing body is. So I will be sending out an email asking you to indicate whether or not you intend to remain on SCAC. Now, depending on how you're appointed, you need to go back to your appointing body. But about over half of you are SCAC Executive Board appointees. So the Executive Board will need to take care of that at our meeting. So we need to know who wants to remain on SCAC and who is retiring. And then also, if you're appointed by a supervisor and your term is expiring, you need to connect with their office. And then City Selection Committee appointees, that'll be coming out. Those nominations will be coming out shortly. Crystal or Jean, have you seen something for City Selection yet? Okay. All right. That'll be.
No, I haven't got anything. Crystal, did you get anything? No.
Nope, not yet.
But I know the meeting is December 1st for City Selection. So I know I've received that notice, but I haven't seen anything for applications or what positions will be opening up.
Okay.
So, but if you're a city, you all should know who your appointing body is. But that's something, you know, think about now, whether or not you're able to continue to make the commitment to SCAC, which we hope that you are. That's all for my comments. If anyone else has any questions, let me know. Seeing none, we'll move on to the Office on Aging updates. Jeanette?
Good morning, everyone. So for the updates, I wanted to just share a few things. The Office on Aging received two funding sources or two funding pockets for the CalFresh Healthy Living and CalFresh Expansion programs. Those are good for 3 years. So one of them focuses more on enrollment assistance and outreach, and the other one, the SNAP End or CalFresh Healthy Living program, focuses more on education, community education about healthy living practices, physical activity, et cetera. We also have the Dignity at Hall Fall Prevention contract approved by the Board of Supervisors on September 13th. And I also have ARPA contracts approved by the Board of Supervisors on the 27th of September. And we also got our 2022 to 23 MIPA budget. MIPA is the Medicare Improvement for Patients and Providers Act. So it works with the HICAP counseling for Medicare insurance. And they,
yeah, what's ARMBA?
Oh, ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act.
Okay. Yeah, ARPA. I thought I heard an M in there. Okay.
Sorry. So MIPA is MIPA's budget had been approved and work plan have both been approved by CDA. And we also have executed a contract with a family caregiver support program under the Older Adults Recovery and Resilience funds from the state. We are also having ongoing, like I mentioned, we're still on, you know, recruiting. We have an ongoing recruitment for several positions in our office, one being Erica's old vacated position as director, and a few for administrative manager one and staff specialists. So far, that's the updates that I have. We also received the nutrition infrastructure funds from CDA, and this will help existing and other nutrition providers improve their infrastructure. So this will allow them to buy, you know, not refrigerated, insulated food bags, any delivery vans or, you know, that's refrigerated so that the temperatures will keep, you know, for the food will keep when they're being delivered for home delivered meals and congregate sites. So more to come on that. We had just received that not too long ago. So we do have a couple of grant approvals coming to the Board of Supervisors to accept the funds, and then we can move forward with contracting.
Okay.
And that's all I have. And let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Jeanette? Dave Tetzlaff.
Yeah. What is the status on the AT&T grant for the extra iPads?
So thank you for asking that, Dave. That we're still waiting on CDA to approve that. I believe it's still being reviewed by CDA. Based on our meeting with CDA, when we had a statewide meeting with all the other counties, CDA said they're in the process of going through all the applications from the state. So they should hopefully release that next month.
Okay.
But yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe Rachel as well has a question.
Rachel?
I do. You went so fast. I'm trying
to take
some notes. The Older Adults Recovery Fund. Again, what is that, please?
So this is a funding that actually came from the, I believe HCBS is what it's called, Home and Community-Based Services. And these are state funds, essentially. It came directly, I believe, through CMS, and they just funneled through, and now they're considered state funds. So these are the Older Adults Recovery and Resilience Funds, or OAR, as we call it. They actually will fund several programs. So one of them was the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention, which we had just executed. One of them is the family caregiver, like a supplemental or additional funding for the family caregiver support program, which we had also just executed. We have a huge fund, like they also allocated a significant amount of funds for our local legal service provider, to not only to support their existing services, but to expand it. And we are introducing a new program based on the state's recommendation that ties elder nutrition program with intergenerational activities. And that one, no one's ever offered that, I think, even up the, you know, all our colleagues or cohorts in the state, we're all kind of on the same boat. This is going to be an entirely new program. So there's going to be a little bit more information to come once the RFP has been released.
John? You're muted, John. John, you're muted.
Muted, there we go, sorry. Clarification, Jeanette, please. Last year with the AT&T funds, I thought there, and I didn't think the county did it this way. I thought the state required those iPads to be returned in a certain period of time. And the county elected to go a different route, and that what set them apart, and they got quite a few kudos for their approach. Is that what we're going to continue with, or by using the AT&T funds, we get caught in the return process at the state level?
I think from what, and that's actually a really good question, John. I think what the state really wants is, you know, to be able to give these iPads away. Unfortunately, for the pilot program that the state released, which is the chat project, right, which was which is kind of currently ongoing right now, but it and that's in partnership with USC. That one, unfortunately, they can't outright say that it has to be given to the public because they don't want to have the, I guess, appearance of gifting of public funds. But I think with ATT, that's going to be a different approach. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be pretty much provided as is with the data plan, et cetera. I just don't know, I won't know much of the specifics until they release the actual contract. But that, I think that's the intent of the state, because even with the chat project, what we're telling our participants or our applicants is that it's on an indefinite loan, because I really don't, you know, I don't think CDA would want the 300 something iPads back, because I don't know what they're going to be doing. And that's only from Orange County. They have several hundred more with other counties. So I think that's the intent. I think you're completely correct in thinking that. And I think the BDD program that was spearheaded by this group also helped a lot. You know, we had a lot of other counties reach out to us to see how we were able to put out 2,200 iPads pretty quickly with data plans. So I think that became a model for other states as well. I'm sorry, not other states, other counties. I apologize.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Jeanette? Well, thank you. That's all good information. We're glad to hear that those resources are going out to Orange County.
Oh, yeah. thank you all for your support. Thank you.
Okay, we are now on to the standing committee reports. Gene?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the committees have been meeting. I'll let each of those chairs report out first, but let me just comment, as I said, to at least one of those committees, and for all of you now, just a heads up that, as you probably read in the paper, that OCTA has run into negotiation roadblocks, and that our mechanics are going to go on strike Monday. And we suspect that the drivers, in solidarity with their union brothers, will also honor that strike. So we'll have no bus running. So please give your senior centers and your seniors, you know, a heads up that they're going to have to seek transportation, at least in the short run. We don't anticipate this going long, but you never know when it comes to strikes. But we're still negotiating. When you reach a deadlock and strike, it doesn't mean that the two parties don't continue to keep talking. So they will do that. So, but having said that, let me
Yes. Will that also impacts the access?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Those buses. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with where are my folks? Did they all bail off here? Oh, let's, Barbara, you want to jump in there? You're muted, Barb. Okay, well, you're working. Oh, there we go.
There we go. I got it. There's some newfangled thing here that I have to learn about unmuting. Anyway, yes, our committee meets on next week on October 19th at 1 p.m. And our presentation will be from the Homeless Intervention Services of Orange County, Christopher Kendrick, who is a case manager who really has the boots on the ground for this program. We'll be talking about intergenerational housing program, and then another program they're doing, housing insecure adults with other adults who have a room that they can spare to house a homeless person. So Christopher will be speaking, and those are really interesting programs. We're really looking forward to it. So that's what we're up to next week, actually.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's go to Evelyn. You want to chime in?
Sure. We are having our meeting on Monday at 9:30, and we have three speakers. They are the community center managers for the cities of Mission Viejo, Cypress, and Elizabeth, can you help me with a third city? Can't remember the first third city right offhand. And we've asked them to talk to us not only about their post COVID issues, if we can call this post COVID, mid COVID issues, but also about their computer programs, because that's one of our emphasis is closing the digital divide. And so we want to know what services they are able to offer and what opportunities they would see. And because our mission is also elder abuse, we're asking about what kind of information they have available for on elder abuse at the community centers. Elizabeth, I saw you just unmuted. Did you come up with the third person?
Is it Tustin?
Yeah, could be.
I think
yes,
it might be.
So anyways, hope you join us on Monday to hear what's up with the community centers. Thank you.
And thank you, Evelyn. Appreciate that. Let's drop down to Sandy Stang. And Sandy, by the way, the November program has been confirmed. You will get a speaker from OCTA. Talking about the, for all of you, talking about the trolley car situation in Santa Ana and the projections and trends for that mode of transportation.
Great.
Go ahead, Jen.
Thank you, Jean. Our meeting was held yesterday, and our presentation was on skilled nursing facilities. And we had the executive director from Belmont Village in Aliso Viejo. I think her name is Rosa Ayala, if I pronounce it correctly. I missed a part of the meeting, so if you need to jump in, Jean, go ahead. Primarily, she was going through and explaining the different levels. Some facilities have all three in their skilled nursing. They have independent, assisted, and then skilled nursing. Belmont Village, I believe, is assisted living, and she was explaining the different aspects and what they have. The costs, of course, are very expensive. She was saying the range was approximately $6,000 a month to $16,000 a month. 16, I'm sure, the thousand would be the memory care. And that's what the prices are now. So you can imagine, excuse me, in 10 years, how much more expensive it's going to be. And she brought up the term that I wasn't familiar with, CCRC, and I wrote down really fast. It's when you actually buy into the facility. So right now their range is anywhere from $200,000 to $500,000. And I believe you do not get the money back, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe there's a percentage or something. And they refer to it as a buy-in. And Belmont Village, because I asked the question, they do not have a buy-in. The other thing is memory care, the cost keeps going up. And she was saying that in some of the memory care facilities, the residents, will have Alzheimer's so extremely that they even have to have one-on-one care. So then Elizabeth brought up a good point about people having the long-term care. And she said sometimes that applies and sometimes it doesn't. And then Elizabeth brought up the point that she just found out her long-term care is only good for 3 years, which I had never heard of. And maybe I just didn't ask the question. I didn't know that there was a limit on what they would cover. So it was really good information. And as you well know, these nursing facilities, the prices are just going to continue to skyrocket. So it came up, how does the average person afford this? And what can we do? And of course, nobody has the answer right now. But that's pretty much what I have. Do you have anything else, Jean? Because I missed a part of the meeting.
Yeah, just a couple of comments. One, it led into a very robust discussion, what Sandy's talking about, both those arenas. And we resolved that with your insurance, especially long-term care, that really depends on the carrier. Like in Elizabeth's case, after 3 years, you're off. For some of us, I've had long-term for quite some time. That's not the case, but it does go up every year. It can get very, very expensive. And the other thing we resolved on, Belmont was a, you know, it's bells and whistles. It's a concierge service. It's first class. And yes, it's expensive. And what we kind of discussed was, remember that how you lived your life, or how, you know, the economic status you obtained during the course of your life, don't think you're going to live better in your senior years. You're not. You're going to live similar to what you've had. So if you can afford certain insurances, you'll have it. If not, like Belmont clearly is for people that are pretty well-to-do, sold their homes and have a lot of money they can invest in now their twilight years. So it was kind of a wake-up call to folks to say, yeah, well, why do you think you're going to live better as a senior than you are now? And the other thing is, you should periodically make sure that you check with their insurance agents or individuals, go over your insurance plans to let you know the current status. Where are you at? What does it contain? Many of us forget or don't recall what our own policies say. So you need to kind of tune those up periodically, or yourself, so you're aware of it. So you're not surprised when you get there and go, okay, oh, I'm sorry, that's not covered. What about this? Oh, I'm sorry, that's not covered. So good heads up. Thank you, Sandy. A very good meeting, by the way. Yeah. Let's see, who do I have left here? Yeah, that's it. Linda, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to make a couple of comments on the CCRCs. I know a lot of them are shocked about the price of those. Just tell your friends and family, be careful what kind of contract they buy into. Some of the CCRCs are investment buy-ins where you don't get that money back. And some of them you do get part of your money back, but that's after you've passed, your heirs would get part of the money back. So those are for, you should only buy into those communities if you think you're going to need that type of long-term care, like you're in assisted living, you think you're going to need more care down the road, and then you think you're going to need skilled nursing further down the road. You should only buy those for a long period, not if you're 85 or 90, that's not a good investment of your money. But a place like Belmont, it is expensive, but there are, you know, the lower end communities that I've been into that are nice. They just don't have all the fancy stuff. So
yeah, thank you, Linda. Yeah, on the Yorba Linda Brea board, we have La Florista, which very similar to Belmont. That's a little tougher because not only do you literally you sell your home and take that money and put it in, and then you're paying a pretty exorbitant, like $5,000-$6,000 a month fee. But again, all the bells and whistles. I would agree, but keep in mind they phase these. So you start out healthier and you want to have a library, you want to have movies and meals cooked, gourmet meals. And then as you start to get less and less mobile or whatever the case may be, then you go into another phase and again, you're going to pay another price. So very, very good discussions that we had. And I think that's it for us, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Lots of good information. Everyone, keep in mind your standing committees. Got frogs today. Keep in mind that at our February meeting, that's our workshop. So your standing committee should be coalescing around what are the priorities that you're for Orange County senior citizens are you going to be bringing forward at the February workshop. Also keep in mind, timing wise, you're not going to be meeting in December. So you have your November meetings and then your January meetings. And then we have the February workshop. Okay. On to items 12 and 13, neither Carolyn nor Meredith were able to be here today. I don't believe they've asked anyone to or had anything to report. Did anyone have anything to report for them? Seeing none, we're on to item 14. Any announcements by our SCAC members? Anyone have something to announce? Jeffrey.
Howdy, everybody. Thank you.
We can't hear you're unmuted, but we can't hear your the volume is too low.
Give me one second here. Is this better?
Up it more.
Any better now?
A little bit. We all have to move closer to the computer.
Let me see if I can push it up a little bit. Yeah, not sure if why it's not coming through.
That's better.
Okay, there we go. Sorry about that, everybody. So just wanted to share from Social Security side, we did have, if you probably saw, the 8.7% cost of living adjustment, the COLA, that will go into effect in January. I did send email this morning while we were on our call to Elaine, if you can push that out for us to everybody, mm-hmm. just the different announcements, documents with that information. And please feel free to share with your groups, the just everybody that you can, if you can help us to make sure that not only did they hear it, but also just to be able to see the information and kind of send them a fine print on one of the documents that I sent out. It also has kind of the update on 2023 info. So it's a good reference point on just where everything as far as benefits and kind of across the board. And as always, if there's any questions or anything that I can help with, please feel free to reach back out to me at any time.
Okay. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thanks.
And I know that's welcome news. You know, actually, one thing I've been hearing, and maybe you can shed some light on this if there's been any, if it's been part of any conversation with the government, in that giving this 8.3% increase may bump some Social Security recipients into an income level where they will now need to start filing taxes, because some of them did not need to do that previously. So has that, do you know if that income has been raised?
Yeah, the average on some of the info I sent out, I think the average is like about $140 for a member offhand, that it will increase. So it could potentially, you know, it really just depends on other income. It's not so much just the Social Security, but the modified adjusted gross income across the board. And depending on what percentage or if Social Security will be used at all in taxes. So it's just dependent on the individual, much across the board. That's
hasn't been a discussion alongside that they would raise the amount of the modified gross income.
Right. And that's where, you know, kind of two different things, because that's the IRS side and what they do with those numbers, you know, because of the inflation and the COLA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Rachel.
So, Jeffrey, along those lines, is there any indication of how many folks will be pushed out of Medi-Cal eligibility due to this increase?
So in the state of California with the Medi-Cal, it shouldn't affect if they're receiving Medi-Cal through SSI. So it depends on how they're receiving the Medi-Cal. If they're receiving Medi-Cal apart from outside of SSI, the Supplemental Security Income, then it might push not so much out, but it might change to a share of cost.
A cost sharing.
So that would be probably the change. But it shouldn't, as far as I know, shouldn't push them out. And I believe that the state has some new numbers and they upped the percentage, I believe, for Medi-Cal as far as those different numbers or rates. And so we'll have to wait and see on those.
Thank you. Tony?
Yeah, Jeffrey, have you heard anything else about the offset?
Yeah, for any the good news? Elimination provision. Nothing close. I know there's one that's kind of active as far as a request. It's kind of, you know, some go a little further than others before they die. And there's one that's kind of active, and we'll see. It has a little bit to do with just the overall kind of revamping of Social Security and trying to fix, you know, the as far as the status overall. But nothing yet that's, you know, gone through, and now we're trying to figure out how to implement it. No.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Jeffrey? Okay. Well, thank you for that information, and I will be sending out the information that Jeffrey sent. Okay, any other announcements before we adjourn? Okay, John Pointer.
Thank you, Elaine. As you all may remember, we had 10 legislative proposals that we started the legislative year with. 8 of those were authored by legislators, 6 made it to the governor's desk. I'm extremely proud to announce 3 were signed by the governor. They are AB 2511, single nursing facility backup electrical supply. Congratulations, Elaine. That concept originally arose as a result of me sitting in a meeting with Elaine at the SCAC Legislative Committee. AB 2338, the fault hierarchy surrogate consent laws. 46 states already have this implemented. California was not one of those. The governor was gracious enough to bring us into that group and make it 47. Last but not least, AB 2145, oral health and skilled nursing facilities. That one was signed in August. So again, I think CSL has a great deal to be proud of this year as a result of the efforts we made. So to all of you CSL members in attendance today, congratulations. Our annual session will be October 25th through 27th. It's virtual. This will be the third year we will be conducting our annual session virtually. It isn't driven so much this time by the pandemic as it is the fact we simply can't get access to the Capitol. As you may all recall, the Capitol's under renovation. Now, you couldn't tell it by driving by it because it doesn't appear it started yet. But remember, the projection is that the Capitol construction will be completed in 5 years. Well, at this rate, there's going to have to be an awful lot that starts to happen in the last couple of years because no ground has been broken yet. There's a lawsuit claiming that there will be too many protected trees in the Capitol Park destroyed by the renovation. So we'll see.
So hold on. There we go. I was putting my earpiece in.
Hey, Rachel, can you please mute? Hey, John, so, did you?
That's all I had, Elaine. Thank you very much for the opportunity to update everybody.
Hey, thank you. And thank you for that good news. And thank you to our CSL members. Gene.
Yeah, just real quick. I had mentioned at the last committee meeting I was in that Yorba Linda had a health fair this last weekend. Very nice. But what was not there was the flu vaccine, which kind of everybody looks forward to coming there and getting it. And when I inquired, they said that it's very difficult to get a hold of now. And then somebody, South County, was having a fair, and they said they were having a problem getting it. So, but don't deter you from getting that, because you can still go to CVS, and they're free there. They were free for me, I guess, if you have insurance or whatever. But so just be aware of that, and you probably want to do that. Anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Any Medicare person can get the shot free. Anyone on Medicare can get the shot on free.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, and that's a good reminder to everybody. Tony, your hand's up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you have anything else?
No, that was
okay.
Get it down.
All righty. Any other announcements before we adjourn? So be looking for the emails from me. I'll be sending at least 3. And I look forward to seeing you all in person on November 4th here in Laguna Niguel. Again, plan extra time at the end of the meeting so you can stay for the luncheon and actually, you know, get to talk to and with the other members of SCAC. So I know some of you have not yet met in person, so you'll be looking forward to doing that, and we'll look forward to seeing you here on November 4th. And with that, our meeting is adjourned at 10:58 a.m. Thank you, everybody.